It is uncomplicatedly clear that from the inception of his ministry, Jesus knew that he chiefly and essentially would come to die. His death was planned. It was planned to be the pinnacle event of all theological truth. From the Scripture, we understand it this way. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Early on in his 3-year manly ministry, he proclaimed that he had come to die. During the night, he met with a fellow who inquired secretly. His name was Nicodemus. And Jesus said to him, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And this is the verdict," Jesus said. He said, "Light has come into the world, but men love their darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil." Now I ask you, do you know anyone who is so dedicated to their work that they could stay at task and forget to eat? I think we all know people like that. Their work becomes their food, so to speak. And you might have to remind them, "Hey, you didn't stop for lunch." Well, there was an occasion when Jesus talked through lunch with a lady. She was from the area of Samaria and lived in the town of Sychar. And Jesus met her outside of town at a water well. She had come there to draw water at noon, which was unusual because ladies usually went together to the well in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening. But we know a little bit about this lady. We don't even know her name, but we know she was an outcast. She had had 5 marriages and was living with a guy when Jesus met her. And he asked her for a drink, and they got to talking, and he said, "Listen, you know, if you knew who I am and you asked me for a drink, I could quench your thirst, that you would never be thirsty again." And Jesus took something very everyday, some water from a well, and He gave it new meaning and said, "You know, I'm not talking about, lady, that you'll never need to get water again. I'm talking about I can meet all of your spiritual needs and quench your spiritual thirst." And after He shared that truth with her, the disciples who had gone off to town came back. They had had their lunch. And they were concerned that Jesus had not eaten. And listen to what he said to them. He said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. He didn't mean he had an energy bar in his robe. His disciples said, well, could someone have brought him food? And Jesus said this, my food, my lunch, my meal is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. See, early on, when he talked to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, someday they're going to lift me up from the earth. And that's why I've come. And when they lift me up, when they put me on that pole, that's a call to come. And he told his disciples, listen, there's one reason I've come. I'm not so concerned about lunch. You see, my drive, my food, is to do why I was sent. And I will have accomplished it when it is finished, when it is complete. And so with that woman sitting there and those disciples who would see and then be blind and then teach the truth and then misunderstand the truth, you know, he said, listen, guys, I've come to finish it all. And they didn't get it. But do you know what he was talking about? He was talking about this meal. He said, that's my food, to finish what my Father sent me to do, and that is to die on the cross. I'd rather do that than eat, he said. See, the crucifixion from the beginning was the intended main course. And this is what he spoke. Good Friday was meant to be the consummation of his work. The main dish. And you know, he knew it. He knew it before he left heaven. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so it's simple but profound. Jesus said, my work is like a meal. My food is my work. And I have to say, when we allow the full revelation of what he was referring to have its fruit in our lives, we say, oh, what a meal. I don't know if you ever tried to eat a meal when you couldn't swallow or when you were crying. When I was in about third grade, I would ride my bicycle to school in Slippery Rock, come home for lunch, and one time in the fall, or it had to be nearing Christmas because my folks weren't home to make me lunch. And I guess I probably walked that day, but that put me into a panic. I was a bit of a worrisome kid. And I imagined in my mind that my mom and dad went Christmas shopping and they were killed in a car accident. So here's this chubby, weepy kid, opened a can of mushroom soup. I didn't have to add salt to it because I cried in my soup, thinking, believing, oh, they're not going to be okay, calling every number I could think to call. Our house number was 7943517. I remember that to this day. They were fine. When Kathy and I moved to South Carolina as a young man and trying to work a full-time ministry and work a full-time construction job, it just got overloaded. And one day I was trying to eat my lunch and I just couldn't swallow. was just too much pressure. And I said, that's enough. I can't take it. I've got to do something. And went part-time with the construction and ultimately full-time with the church. But isn't that funny? Only two times in my life do I remember a meal I couldn't consume. How about you? But you know, little Bobby cried in the soup. And young Pastor Bob, being overloaded, is nothing. Nothing compared to the meal Jesus said He came to eat. You know, in the garden, when He prayed, when He said, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from Me. Yet not My will but Yours be done. That was just another way of referring to the culmination of the work. That was just another way of referring to the main course of the meal, to say, you know, I know what's about to happen here, and I'm ready to partake. I've always wondered in John chapter 17 how John knew what Jesus prayed. Was it the Holy Spirit who told him? But as the prayer is recorded, Jesus said this in John 17, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You, as You've given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And then Jesus said, I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You've given Me to do. He loved the work. He loved the work more than He liked to eat. And He was very cognizant from the very beginning when He said to Nicodemus, the day's coming when I'll be lifted up. To the woman at the well, I'll give you water of which you'll never be thirsty again. And to the disciples, listen, I have food of which you do not know. And said, my food is to do the work for which I was sent and to finish it. Isn't it interesting what He cried on the cross? What did He say? It is finished. My work's done. It's completed. It's perfected. I'm done eating now, Dad. Might have been another way to say it. He says, I've come and I've finished that which You've given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself with the glory which I had with You before the world was. In essence, He said, I'm coming home now, Dad. I'm done working. So very simply but profoundly, as I said, just put this in your mind. His food was His work. And then I would ask, now what's our work? What's our cup? Of what meal are we to partake? Well, you know, Jesus answered that question. You might remember He fed 5,000 people with very little food. 5 biscuits and 2 small fish. And they had basketfuls left over. And the Bible says the next day, people followed Him and they wanted to be with Him. And Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth, you're not looking for Me, or you are looking for Me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. He said, you really liked the buffet free lunch we had yesterday, and you think you're seeking spiritual truth, but you're following Me just because you want to see what's next. You want to see what we're having for lunch today. And He said to the people, now listen, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. There he goes again, taking food and water and the everyday things and giving them spiritual meaning. And he says, listen, he says, you want to work for food that endures, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And here's what the people said, the same thing we would say. They said, then what must we do to do the works of which God approves? What's my work, Jesus? What am I to do? And do you know what he said? He says, the work of God is this, to believe on the one whom he has sent. And then they ask him, well, what miraculous sign will you give that we can see it and we can believe? What will you do? What's your next trick, Jesus? They said, listen, our heritage, our forefathers, the Jewish patriarchs, they ate manna in the desert. And it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, now listen, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so get the connection. They had the loaves and the fish and said, there was a sign in the Old Testament, the manna from heaven, the perfect food brought down. There wasn't anything, but then there was something. And it took care of our forefathers for 40 years, perfectly nourished them. And Jesus said, listen, you're giving Moses credit. My Father did that. And now he's done it again. He sent down the perfect manna from heaven. And they said, now, sir, give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and you don't believe. And then Jesus said, this is your work. Your work is to join me. Your work, this is weird. He says, your work is to eat me, to consume me. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is the real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna, and they died. He who feeds on this bread will live forever. Many of the disciples found that to be a hard teaching and said, who can accept this? And aware that the disciples were grumbling, Jesus said, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man descend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, which one betray him. And he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father's enabled him. And then John 6:66 in your Bible says this. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Now, they had not yet witnessed the crucifixion, the post-resurrection appearances that are yet to come, and his ascension into glory. But they had Jesus in their very presence. Yet they did not believe. Now, I said Jesus' food was to do the will, to do the work. And Jesus says, your work is to believe. That sounds easily done. It sounds like a fairly easy job. Yes, I do believe. But you know, if your belief isn't work, then I would think it's not really belief, the belief that Jesus is speaking about. Honestly, I think we're like the dad in Mark chapter 9 who had a son who, you know, had convulsions and would fall into the fire, and he brought him to Jesus. He said, Lord, if you can do anything, and Jesus said, if. He says, nothing's impossible with God. And then he said, you know, just believe. And the man said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And honestly, that's where I live. And that's probably where I'll die on this earth. Is still believing, but wrestling with my unbelief. That's my work. That's what I'm called to do, is to believe on the one whom God sent, trusting Him for eternal life and trusting Him for daily bread, daily spiritual bread, because He is the bread of life. Now, when we find that it's work to believe, I wonder what that lady thought. She said, Mother, I came to make all things new. Did Mary believe right then? That was work. You know, only one, John, only one stood by. The rest of the manly men, they couldn't take. Peter said, hey, I'm going fishing. They said, okay, let's go. Headed north. I don't know about you, but sometimes my faith is a wrestling match, and in the end, I'm glad that it's real. I'm glad it's not easy. I don't have explanations for everything, do you? But I still believe. And it's work to believe. Even tonight, coming in and having witnessed what you're witnessing now a couple of times already, and eating the bread of the Word and preparing my heart and, you know, choosing to play a soundtrack from The Passion of the Christ as you come in. And as more people came, the chatter got louder. The laughter started. What did I expect? I expected it was Good Friday. You'd come and sit down and be quiet and be prepared. So I had a little wrestling match that went on inside me to say, now what, Pastor Paul? You get up and whip the people that came to church because they believe? No. No, I praise God for the joy and the love and the laughter. Even on Good Friday. So it can be little things like that. Or it can be big things. First Sunday in November, about 3 years ago, got a call from our former foster daughter. Dad, did you hear? What, Josie? Did you hear Matt got killed on his motorcycle today? Turn on the news. You'll see it. And soon thereafter, it was his name. Believe his work. Rebellious young man. Turned into his mid-20s. Started back to church. Brought his little kids with him. Helped at the day camp. Everything was headed in the right direction. Phew. Gone. In this room tonight, some of you are working to believe because of the circumstances of your life and your faith. But you know, without the trial, without the trouble, without the testing, without the perseverance, our faith would be mute and dead and cheap. And it wouldn't own us, we'd own it. And we would quickly turn and run. And so I just want you to be thinking about the meal of which Jesus said was his food, and that was to complete the will, the work of his dad. And then I want you to think about the work of those who would follow him. The work is to believe. And I have to say, hey, you're here. You're here. Remember in John 6 what I read tonight? Jesus said, you know, I am the bread of life. You see, if you eat of me and drink of me, then you'll have eternal life and you'll never thirst again. Just last night, Thursday, the night before all of this, Jesus took the Passover symbols, the unleavened bread, and you'll get some here in a few moments. Tonight, when it is distributed, we want you to hold the bread and the cup, and our worship team will lead you to partake together. But there he was, the bread of life, taking the Passover bread that had no leaven, had no sin in it. It was perfect. And back in the Egyptian Passover, no time to let the bread raise. And so quickly make the bread. And he took the Passover bread, and before this, but after his teaching about being the bread of life, he said, now listen, that unleavened bread from now on, it'll have new meaning. He said, that bread is me. That bread is my flesh. Now that's pretty gruesome. If we really ate flesh, we would be cannibals. But he was teaching strongly and with exaggeration and application to say, that Passover bread, that communion bread, the lamb of the Passover, the lamb of the cross, this is the flesh of the Lamb, the Messiah. And he said, I'm the bread of life, and if you don't partake of me, then you've missed it. And Jesus did not mean that sacramentally. Sacramentally, he didn't mean take communion and you'll live. He meant when you eat this bread, it's a reminder of you have me every day. And then he took the fruit of the vine, the Passover cup. And he said, I'll give new meaning to the cup. The cup is now going to be my blood. You can give us some spots now, Pat. And so just watching what you watch, can you imagine the bloody flesh eating a piece of it and the blood that ran down if you got a small cup of it? But that's not what he meant. He meant, I am in you, you are in me. As I am in my Father, so am I in you. We are one. And so every Lord's Day, we go to the cross. Tonight, churches that don't usually go to the table, you see, go to the table to remind them of the Passover lamb, the sacrifice of Christ, the peace that was made. And so let this meal be a reminder to you tonight of the food of which Jesus said to his disciples, you don't know about the food. The food is my work to finish why I was sent, to be lifted up to draw all. So tonight, as you're instructed to receive the body and the blood of Jesus, that's how he said it. He said, this is my body, this is my blood. He didn't say this is to represent my body, this is to represent my blood. He, don't believe, meant that it turns into flesh and blood at all. It sure doesn't taste like that. But he said, this is it. The reality is found in the worship of your very life. So work at it tonight. Work to believe. Almighty Father, we come before you. And as we prepare to receive, we understand even more. It's all about Jesus. And so, Father, his food was to finish the work. Our work is to believe. And we confess that we do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, in whose name we pray.